You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I think about that. God does supply every need. In fact, and I'll tell you what the need is to reach people. That's what it is. I think of Hallelujah Night, very expensive undertaking in the natural. Most churches probably wouldn't do it because it costs so much. But we look at it as a mission. What an opportunity to reach those children. My goodness, there are hundreds of children that come have no church affiliation. I mean, they fill out forms when they register and sign up to come into Hallelujah Night. Obviously, we have thousands that are in church, and that's okay. Here's an alternative they can come to and hear about Jesus again, you know, and start a good tradition, a godly tradition, a scriptural Christian tradition. You know, we've had, I don't know how many people said, oh, we'll never do anything else. We're always going to come to Hallelujah Night. And our kids are going to grow up, going to look for a church to take their children that night. That's a good thing. Are you with me? See, that's building a good memory and a good tradition. Traditions aren't all bad if they point to Jesus. There were traditions of the churches the Bible talked about that were good things. You don't always throw away traditional, for what's current or new. You throw away traditional when it's not functional anymore. But if traditional functions, stay with it. Stay with the stuff. Amen? But you got to also be open to new innovative ways to reach people. And that was just a God idea. A lot of churches do that. It's nothing new. They do it all over the country. Some do very successfully. Some don't. Some try it. I don't think it's for every church. But we did it. God breathed on it. He blessed it. Amen. And so we ran with it. Amen?
That's right.
We've done a lot of things God didn't bless. We've done some things He did bless. You just got to know when to stop the things He doesn't bless, start the things He does bless, and keep them up. Amen? And so we'll probably, listen, if Jesus tarries, we're going to try a lot of things that won't work. You know, I mean, that's just part of it. I don't hear God 24 hours a day. Are you kidding? You know, I'm amazed that people get up, pastors get up, and they heard God for they heard God where to park. They heard God where to shop. Only my wife hears God where to shop. I don't hear that. She has this open channel to heaven. As soon as there's a sale, God says, go there. You know, I just don't get it. I'm not there. But, you know, we do things that are good and godly, and sometimes it's the thing God wants us to do, and sometimes it's us trying to find the thing God wants us to do. And you just do a lot of shifting and re-examining and, you know, refocusing. And over the years, we've had things that have just been tremendous success and some things that they hadn't. We don't talk about those. You don't hear about those. They don't make for good sermons. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke 4, if you will. I want to share a little with you this morning. I was thinking about all that we're just trying to assimilate all the teaching we heard this weekend. And I always feel sorry for the congregation here in the church when I go off in a meeting like that and getting all those meetings because I just want to explode right now. You know, I've got so many ways I want to go with this, and there's no way I'm going to cover everything, so... Lord, help me focus here. Help me focus. Thank God for International Outreach Church.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. That, you know, thank God there's a place here you can come and hear the word and be loved. Praise God. Be empowered and, you know, and find out who you are and find out your place in Christ. You know, God wants to use every one of us. You know that? Every single one of us. We're not all going to go to prison. We're not going to all, you know, work in children's ministry. You know, we have 3 children's churches going on right now. As we're having this service, there's a children's church there, there, and there. And they're ministering to children right now. We've got nurseries going on. People do all kinds of things in a church. And you just have to find your place. You know, the problem is going to church and never even looking for a place. You know, that's, no, find a place. Find something you can do, you know. Whether it's ushering or we got cameras. They're running cameras right now. People back in the back, Chris back editing. And he's just now going back editing. Okay, am I on? No, I'm kidding. Ushers and all kinds of things that go on, and people mow the yard and clean the building. My goodness, it takes a lot of people to make this thing happen. And so we come down here and we have a great service, but see, there's a lot that went on to make this service take place. We had Sunday school this morning for all ages. There's teachers teaching in different classrooms and so on, and the list just is endless. There's staff during the week doing things. There's you praying and you giving and you supporting and you standing behind and being faithful. We all make this thing happen. And we all are making a difference. Amen? But it's all about reaching others. It's all about shining our light. It's all about being available, you know, and being used by God to help people. Somebody witnessed to me one day. Somebody told me about Jesus. Somebody prayed for me when I was down. And somebody lifted me and loved me, sent me a card, gave me a phone call. I like that. Don't you like that? You know, Jesus says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, we ought to be thinking along those lines. How can I help somebody? How can I reach somebody? How can I touch somebody? You know, lost, saved, whatever. Maybe it's just encouragement. Maybe it's to lead them to the Lord. Maybe it's to pray for them if they're down or sick or whatever. Maybe you need to bring food by their house or whatever. I mean, this life's got rough edges in it. There are tragedy. There are hurts in this life. And God has sent us to a hurting world, to a suffering, sighing, dying world, you know. And that's what churches are about. Of course, they're about helping other people. They're also about empowering us and encouraging us and teaching us and leading us. You should get better and better year by year in a church. You should get stronger in your faith. Amen. But there is a purpose to that. You should get blessed, but there's a purpose to that. God wants to make a blessing out of you. Amen. So the ultimate goal is not just to be blessed. The ultimate goal is to be a blessing. You know, we're involved in a lot of different missions in our giving. We do all local missions, community missions, foreign missions, prison ministries, helping hurting women, helping poor people, we've got these optometrist trips, medical trips that go down into Mexico with ATAC, Air Transport Armor Christ. I'm going to miss something here. We have a television channel here in Wills Point, just ministering through cable to Wills Point and to Edgewood, and just giving the word out every day, all day long, 24 hours a day, you know, preaching to people, ministering to people. We never, ever ask for an offering. Never, ever ask for an offering on that program. We offer a free book if they pray the prayer with us and want to be saved and call us, we'll give them a free book, but we don't ask for an offering. If they want to buy or purchase the tape, sure, they can do that. But, you know, that's an outreach. There's all kinds of ways you can reach people. Yes. You just got to think about it. You know, I'd like to see us get into nursing home ministry. Wouldn't that be good? We've got some people who could do that. Hello. It's getting real quiet in this church. You think I'm going to label you now and put you on the list and make you do something? No, I'm just throwing this out. This is what we're about. We're about other people. It always have been. You know, when I think about the things that are really great and are going good, that I'm excited about, I'm excited about these outreaches. I'm excited about overcomers. I'm very excited about that. I think that's just wonderful. I'm excited about that prison ministry. That just stirs me. I get excited when I hear about Tommy going over to a neighbor and helping him cut a tree down. Wind up telling him about Jesus and bring him to church. And here's Justin right here saved.
Hallelujah.
That excites me when I hear about those stories like that. I'm excited when I hear about Ken back there on the sound room who came out of prison and come off drugs about almost 2 years now. Came in the church. I remember when he came in church, just been straight about a week or two, I don't know. And I remember when he came in. I remember the day he came in. I remember talking to him back in the back, you know, and of course Dale, you know, talked to him about him, got him to come, and they've known each other for years. And I just remember telling Ken, I said, Ken, you're going to have to get new friends. So listen to me. I look him right straight in the eye. Ken? He's a big guy. I said, you need to get a new set of friends. Yes. I said, this is great, you're serving God, but you're never going to make it till you change your fellowship. Right. And you get in church, you need to stay in church, you need to quit hanging around those people you hung around with. You got to get a new set. I cannot impress upon you the most, and that's right, Ken, didn't I tell you that? That's the most important thing I could tell you is change your fellowship. And of course, Dale, you know, and Cheryl worked with him. And, you know, and Ken, I'm telling you, he has made a complete turnaround in his life. Yeah. Now he's our sound man. Yeah. You know, God reaches people. People's what God's all about. Always has been, always will be. It's all about people. And I mean, we can just go right down the list. I remember when Henry got saved, when he walked down the aisle and turned his life over to Jesus. And we think of miracles. I think of Whitney, when Whitney, goodness, the doctor said Whitney wouldn't live. Then they said she wouldn't be able to talk. Then they said she wouldn't be able to walk. And then, and Whitney, stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, that's reaching, that's touching people, reaching out to people. That's what Jesus is about. That's what we're about. Amen. Y'all found Luke 4? We need to brag about those kinds of things. Brag on Jesus. Luke 4, of course, the account where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness of the tempter, the devil. God's not the one who tempts you. The devil's the one who tempts you. In fact, God doesn't wear that title. The devil is the tempter. God's the one that makes the way out. Amen. There are no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, will always with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God makes the way out. He doesn't tempt. Often people misquote that and say, God will never put more on me than I can handle. But it didn't say God will put it on him. It says God will take it off of him. It says God will make a way out, but you've got to look for it. Are you with me? So Jesus comes out of the wilderness, that wilderness experience, overcoming temptation with the word, incidentally. That's another teaching altogether. He quoted scriptures and promises back at the devil. You need to know who you are and who God is and what the word says when temptation comes. And if you'll stand on God's word and stand on his promises, you can overcome temptation too. Because you're not who the devil says you are. You're who God says you are. Hallelujah. So it says he returned, that 14th verse says he returned in the power of the Spirit. I love that. Jesus came out of that wilderness experience in the power of the Spirit. Not overcome by the devil, but he overcame the devil by the power of the Spirit. And he goes into the synagogue, and as his custom was, I always like to bring that out, the 16th verse says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He had a habit of going to church. Church is what God's about. Always has been, always will be. Everybody needs to be a part of a church. I can't impress upon that upon you enough. I mean, I know you'd say, well, you're a pastor. You're going to say that. That's true. I am a pastor. And that's true. I am going to say that because that is what the Bible says. It always comes down to church. Everyone ought to have a local church. Everybody ought to be in a local church. Paul wouldn't start churches. Peter started churches. The New Testament is full of churches, gathering places of believers where they got together and they encouraged and prayed for one another and got their marching orders. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was a place of deliverance. It was a place of help and a place of healing, a place of hope. It wasn't a place for you to come for me to beat you over the head with a two before. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to bring you the good news, to charge you, to challenge you, to change you, to encourage you, to fire you up. To preach Jesus to you. To preach the good news. You say, well, what if I'm in sin? I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be in sin anymore.
That's right.
What if I'm going to hell? I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go to hell.
That's right.
See, I don't preach hell, preach heaven. There is a hell, but I preach heaven. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? That's what I'm all about. That's what church should be all about. Point the way to Jesus. The way out of this mess. You say, aren't we supposed to just blast the homosexual? Listen, homosexuality is a sin. God's against it. It's an abomination. But God does not hate homosexuals. Adultery is a sin. It's an abomination. God hates it, but God doesn't hate adulterers. Do we believe it's wrong? Yes, we do. Are we against it? Yes, we are. But we're not against people. And if a homosexual will repent, I hope this doesn't offend you. I mean, this is just the truth. If a homosexual will repent, if an adulterer will repent, God will take them.
That's right.
And we will too.
Amen.
Amen. I remember someone years ago told us, you know, that of another church, and they said, I heard so-and-so is going to your church. I said, yeah, yeah. And it was someone who had had a real bad alcohol problem, real what we would call low-class person. You know. I hate those designations. They said, well, yeah, they came over to our church. I said, oh, really? I said, yeah, they just really didn't fit in. We're so glad your church is over there.
Thank you.
I did. I looked at him. I said, thank you. I thought that was one of the highest compliments I'd ever been paid. That we'd take anybody. We will. We'll take anybody. You know what? We don't even care if you have a lot of money. Come on. No, really. If you have a nice car, a nice home, we don't care. You can come here. It's okay. If you don't have a car, that's okay too. Call us, we'll pick you up. You know, Will? We just don't care. I mean, there is no class distinction here. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're green. I don't care if your hair is green. Before you start that, I know some old ladies have got blue hair, so stay with me. That's been around a long time. Are you with me? I know that's kind of a novelty in small towns, you know, but we got to get with the program here. Come on, man. I mean, You know, sure, I like dressing up and dressing nice. I want to minister to people. I don't want to offend people. And I think we ought to dress as well as we can. But if you don't have something nice to wear, come on. People ask me all the time, says, what's the dress code? Well, I think you ought to wear some clothes. I really do believe you ought to put something on and come to church.
Yeah.
And if you have something nice, wear it. If you can't, if you don't, come on. We don't care. Come on. We want to worship God here. It's just, I mean, I wear a suit here. I don't wear a suit on Sunday nights or Wednesdays, you know, but I try to dress up best I can, you know. But that's me. That's fine. We have some requirements up here, but we have no code here. I mean, come on. We want you here. We want to bless you. We want to minister to you. And we want you to get to the point where you can minister to others. We want you to get delivered where you can deliver others. We want the blind to see so they can help the blind. The cripple to walk so they can help the cripple. If you've ever been delivered, you've ever been blessed, you've ever been helped, you ought to turn around and help others. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus, I am going to get to this. In church, his custom, went to church on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. You just have a cameo on every verse here, but you know, Jesus didn't just magically flip pages here. For one thing, it was a scroll, it wasn't a book anyway. It was like a roll that he rolled out. But he didn't just go like this, you know, and hit a point and start reading. We often think the Bible is some kind of magic book like that. It's not. It's not a magic book. It's a book from heaven. It's way beyond magic. Come on. It's so much more powerful than a magic book. Are you kidding? This is the Word of God. This will change your life. But it's interesting that Jesus found the place. Everybody say find. See, you've got to find the place where it's written about you. In this case, Jesus found the place where it was written about him. And you know what he did? He made his declaration. He made his affirmation. He made his statement of faith. This is who I am, and this is what I'm about. Amen. Well, that's a good question. You know, what are you? Who are you? And what are you about? Well, I'd submit to you, you may have never found out yet, but you are who God says you are, and you are about what God says you are about. Amen. And it is time we really get about the Father's business, really.
Yes, it is.
Amen? Amen? But if we don't dig and we don't seek, we don't find. It's Jesus that said that in Matthew 7:7. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. He didn't say it doesn't matter whether you ask or not, it's going to happen anyway. He didn't say you don't have to seek. It'll just come knocking on your door. No, you knock on its door. You ask, you seek, you knock, you find. The door's open unto you. Hallelujah. So, you know, God's been around. He's waiting. He's waiting on us. But if we'll dig and we'll pursue and we'll step out and we'll knock and we'll seek and we'll ask, God, what do you want me to do? And we'll get in the Word and look and see what God says for us to do. And we'll start knocking on that door. Metaphorically, symbolically. I'm not talking about just going down the street knocking on doors, although that'd be good too. I mean, that's fine. But it doesn't mean you have to do that. I mean, you have a world that you live in already. You already have neighbors and friends. You already have people you work with. Are you with me? And we're not saying just grab every one of them and, you know, by the cup, just pull them in there and ask them if they know Jesus. No, just live for Jesus and from them. Look for opportunities. Pray for them.
Yeah. That's right.
We're not talking about being a wild-eyed fanatic. Many times that just turns people off anyway.
Yeah.
That went over real big. And we're so heavenly-minded, we're no earthly good. You know, I mean, we're just, we're talking about Jesus. We're so up there and we want them to be like us. Well, I don't know if I want to be like that, you know. Besides, I don't believe Jesus that way anyway. Jesus, you know, his whole life was a witness.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it, sure. We're going to talk about it, absolutely. Whew. Okay. So, he says this, hand the book of the prophet Isaiah. Actually, he was reading out of Isaiah 61, if you want to go back and read where he's quoting here. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We often talk about the anointing, the Spirit of God. We're a charismatic church. We believe in the anointing of God. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. We believe in that. We believe in miracles, signs, wonders. You may have a concept of what that is, good or bad or indifferent. I don't know what it is, but we do believe in that. It doesn't mean we're like all the Pentecostal churches or charismatic churches. I believe there's a balance. I think you can get too wild with anything.
Yeah.
Sure you can. I mean, that can be done in any. You can get so extreme against that your church is so dry that you just dry up. Hello? I heard it said this way, that if all you have is just the word and just teaching and no spirit, no anointing, you'll dry up. Letter killeth. The spirit giveth life, Bob says. But on the other side of that coin, if all you have is just power and just excitement, then you'll just blow up. And a lot of churches are blow-up churches. Some of them are dry-up churches. Some churches, you know, you come out of there and it's wild and, man, woo, we scream, we shout, we holler, ow, yeah, hallelujah. And everybody's going, man, that was wonderful. What did you learn? I don't know, but woo, wow, ow. Can't wait to get back in there. Woo. What'd you get? I don't know, but wow, it was, ow. Hello. But see, if you just have the word, you dry up. If you just have the spirit, you blow up. But if you have them together, you'll grow up. You need the dynamic of the spirit, the dynamo, the power. But you've got to have the direction of the word to direct the power, see? And often I think we've misdirected power, or we've just canceled it out. So there is a balance. Are you with me? So there was a purpose for this. He talked about the spirit. I mean, thank God for baptism, the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, but the Spirit is on us to get, I liken to, I heard it like a train track. You know, you got a train on a track. Thank God. All that power in that train, you can toot that horn. You know, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. But the main purpose of that engine is to get you down the track. And yeah, let's make a lot of noise while we're going down the road, but let's go down the road. Let's get down the track.
Right, yeah. That's good.
Hello. We're going somewhere, you know. We're doing something. Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus, you want to know what Jesus said? Okay, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I love that. Man, I love that. He came out in the power of the Spirit, 14th verse tells us. He started his ministry with the Spirit of the Lord on him, with the anointing of God on him. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." There's that anointing. See, he anointed me. He is anointed. Jesus was called the Anointed One. The word Christ is a Greek word that translated the Anointed One. And so that's what he was. He was the one anointed. The anointing was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the anointing. Now, Jesus was the Anointed One. The Holy Spirit was the anointing. Now think about this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Actually, it's clear over in Isaiah 61, God the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. That's also in Acts 10:38. So here you just read through, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Actually, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Father has anointed me. There's a little confusion there when you read this, because you think the Spirit anointed Jesus. The Spirit did not anoint Jesus. The Spirit is the anointing. The Father anointed Jesus. The Father poured the Spirit out on Jesus. The Father sent the Spirit on Jesus. So the Father anointed Jesus, and what he anointed him with was the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your excitement. That right there changed your life if you get a hold of it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he, the Father, has anointed me. Now this is what we're anointed to do. Now, I know we roll around, fall out, and shake, shout, and run, and all that stuff. And I love that. I mean, hey, come on. This is not a sermon against that. Don't you take that way. Because thank God for the power of God. Thank God for I love those times when the power of God comes in, the presence of God comes in, and my goodness, we weep and shout, and it's just, I think it's wonderful. I like the spontaneity of it, too. I really don't want to reproduce that every single service. I want that to be in waves. I want that to come as the Spirit wills. I want it to be fresh. I don't want the sin of familiarity, even if I can't say it. I still don't want that sin. Hello. I want the Spirit of God to move as the Spirit wills. Those things are as the Spirit wills. They are. They come. They go. And that's wonderful. I'm for that. Don't twist what I'm saying here. But the main reason for the Spirit on us, and you can see it here, The main reason for the anointing on us, the main reason for this presence and this power, oh man, to be washed in this blood, to be set free, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be charged, and just to be stirred up, just to love Jesus, just to be passionate about Jesus. I love Jesus. I don't think it's a kid saying. I love Jesus. I love Him. Real men love Jesus. Real men pray. Real men cry. I weep at the presence of God. I weep when I think of the goodness of God. I can't see someone get saved without weeping. It just, child, man, You know, I just, when I see people touched, when I see people healed or helped or come out of a mess or, you know, God wrap His arms around somebody, it just breaks me in a good way. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. Hello. But now listen, the Spirit is on us. Think about this. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Father is anointing with the Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor. To help the poor. Hallelujah. And He's not talking about just giving to them. He's talking about preaching to them. See, God wants to empower you. He wants to bring you out of poverty. See, we would take, I heard this saying years ago, we would take man out of the slums. God would take the slums out of man. And He will. He'll do that. He'll take it right out of you. He won't just take you out of sin. He'll take the sin right out of you. And that's what the anointing will do. And that's what we're to do, see? We're to help people. We're not just, you know, the old saying, give a guy a fish, you eat for a day, teach him to fish, you'll eat for a lifetime. Well, that's what we should be about. I think sometimes we just go, you know, throw something. And we're guilty of that sometimes. We give a lot, you know, and we kind of think, well, we're giving. That's good. We throw it out there. Just throw the money at it, you know. And you know, people do take that money and they do great things with it. And there's going to be people in heaven because of our giving. I don't belittle that. That's wonderful. But see, I think sometimes we need to get our hands in the mess. We need to get out there and touch some lives. And share and so on and so forth. And the anointing's on us to do that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. See, the anointing's always for somebody else. One of the things of this conference we were at was others. Others. I love that. I think that was so good. Because it's all about others. Now, you may be one of those others, but once you become one of us, now it's all about the others. Amen. I mean, He still loves you, still for you, still wants to bless you, still wants to meet your need. You still have needs in your life and crisis and tragedy. Come on, call on Him. He'll help you, praise God. But don't just get so inside-oriented thinking that you forget everybody else. I mean, you're here to do something, make a change, make a difference. You can make a difference. You can make a change. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, that's the best thing you do to the poor. You can give them money and help them, but if you don't preach to them and minister to them and get them out of that poor mentality and out of that poor thinking and that victim mentality, if they don't ever get a hold of the Word, they're just going to keep being poor and you're going to have to keep just giving to them. And God wants you to give to them, but He also wants you to empower them and to minister to them and disciple them and mentor them. We don't just need to give out to the poor. We ought to bring the poor in here. That's why we call in the rich and the poor. Because we want them to hear the Word. To hear they're overcomers. To hear that they're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. To hear that they have the victory through Christ Jesus. That God always causes us to triumph in Christ. That greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. To stir themselves and charge themselves and challenge themselves to rise above. To not lay down and take what life is throwing across their path or what the devil is trying to make them take. To realize they can break the cycle. They don't have to repeat it. They don't have to continue in that. You can rise above it. You can come out of the mess. You can come out of the sin. You can come out of the poverty. You can come out of the depression. I don't know what background you have, family you have. I hope it was a good one. But if it wasn't, don't blame them. Just rise up. They did the best they can do. You rise up and you look to Jesus and you decide to do better. Yes. Amen. Amen. And make a difference. Hallelujah. So He says, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Did you know people have broken hearts in life? They really do. I mean, guys, we can, you know, we're raised in such a macho society, and We just bulldog our way through everything. Stand up, be a man, quit crying. You keep crying. I'll give you something to cry about. You keep crying. You know, we tell our kids that. And, you know, like that's bad. But, you know, people have hurts. They have pains. You have them too. You just don't tell anybody about it. Hello. But Jesus sent us to heal the brokenhearted. You know anybody that's been brokenhearted? Go heal them. Go lay your hands on them. Go pray for them. Go lift them. You know, ladies, bake them a pie. I didn't say guys because that wouldn't be nice for me to bake a pie. You wouldn't want to eat it. Hello. But do something. Help somebody. You know, pray for somebody. Lift somebody. Look for that. Are we looking for that? I wonder sometimes. I'm not. My focus is just way off over there. I'm thinking about the service. I'm thinking about, you know, this and that and so on. I'm not really thinking about everybody else. Come on, don't look at me like that. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You do the same thing. We don't really think about the person beside us or, you know, in front of us, behind us, the neighbor, the relative. We hear about something going on. We go, oh, isn't that terrible? But we don't phone call. We don't call. We don't go by. We don't. Hello. I love what, you know, Vivian sent the card, thanking the church for praying. Don't know how she made it if she didn't have people praying for her and checking on her. Of course, she's got a big family, and Gene had a big family, a lot of people there. But, you know, church people brought food and lifted, and they had this funeral here, the home-going service for Gene right here in the church. Thank God for church. Yes. Thank God for church people. God, I just can't imagine. I really can't imagine going through something like that without your brothers and sisters in the Lord, without the hope of heaven, without the promises of God. It's all about hope. It's all about help. It's all about healing. It's all about comfort. It's all about reaching out. Amen? Okay. So he says, preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Boy, that's something we herald here and we proclaim here and we say it loud and we say it where everybody can hear it. You're free. You're free. You're free. The gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Come out of your sin. You can come out of your sin. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You don't have to live in sin.
That's right.
Well, I just can't. No, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't buy the lie. You're doomed to repeat this the rest of your life, to be this way the rest of your life. No, come to Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. Learn of me. Oh, my. You'll find rest for your souls. I love that. There's rest in God. Now, don't get me wrong. He'll put you to work. But it's a restful work. It is a wonderful thing to work for God. It is a marvelous thing to help others. There is nothing more satisfying than helping someone, than knowing you've got a purpose. That God would ask me to do something. It just amazes me. I think of who I was before I got saved. And I never forget. I never forget where I came from. I always remember where I came from. I remember I was lost and I was going to hell. I lived a wild lifestyle and drugs and jails. And, you know, but Jesus, Jesus saw something else. And I don't think we see something else when we see people. We just see what they're doing. We see what they're in, you know. But see, Jesus didn't see. You know what he saw when he saw me? He saw me standing right here today telling you how much Jesus loves you and how much you can make it and your account and you're important. God's for you, not against you, and wants to use you. That's what he saw when he saw me back then. He saw what I could be. See, all I need to do is get saved and get right with God. That's all. We start talking about people. Well, I can't believe they're doing it. Can't believe it. You know what? All they need to do is get right with God. All they need is get saved or get right with God. That's it. Because that's all you needed. That's all I needed. See, Jesus sees potential. He sees what can be. And anybody can make it in Jesus. Anybody can come out of that mess in Jesus. You can come out of it. I came out of it. Anybody can come out of it. I look back, I can't even imagine, I can't even see me back then. When I look at me now. Because I'm a product now of what Jesus has done. I'm a product of the power of God, of this right here. This is what Jesus came to do. I love this. Is Jesus came to preach the gospel to me. Jesus came to heal my broken heart. He did. He came to proclaim liberty to this captive right here. And you know, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what the church is about. The church is Jesus' church. The church is about what Jesus was about. Church does what Jesus did. Amen? This is our focus. This is our purpose. You know, all the things we do, thank God for Hallelujah Now. But you know, Hallelujah Now is about kids. It's about people. It's about being a light. There are hundreds. Listen, what? And don't get so wrapped up in the work and the building the booths and passing out candy and, oh my God, if I have to pass out another piece of candy, what about my back? What about my children? What about my back? You know, I mean, you get so wrapped up in doing everything, you forget what this is all about. There are hundreds of kids. We've got the figures. We've hundreds of children that are not even in church, never been to church, that hear about Jesus out here at Hallelujah. That's awesome. Amen. They hear about the Lord. They hear about Jesus. Christian music play. Christian boost. Righteous ring toss. St. Paul softball toss. What are some of those ones there? No? Popping for Jesus. Popcorn booth. Hayride. The rapture. Get on the first load. You know. I mean, every booth has got something about the Lord, you know. And then we got the little puppet stage going, you know, every 30, 45 minutes with little puppets coming out. And all the kids gather around, lead them in John 3:16, Romans 10:9, get them to, you know, quote Jesus and sing songs. And, it's just awesome. Amen. Just awesome. Hallelujah. Well, that's ministering to people. That's turning gold into souls. That's putting our money in people. That's what that is. Somebody said, that costs so much. I could. Let me tell you something. We are sitting on 45 acres paid for. We have this facility here paid for. There's 14,000 square feet finished building here, air conditioned, paid for. We have a warehouse behind us that we built, paid cash, 40 by 60. We got a forklift in it that was donated. We tried to pay for it, and they wouldn't take our check. Gave us our check back. All kinds of racks in there and all kinds of booths, all kinds of things inside that warehouse. Building a gymnasium. The gymnasium is 12,500 square feet on the floor and another 2,500 upstairs. We just two-story the front 25 feet. We'll have an opening in the gym of 100 by 100 open space. This whole building will sit in it. This is a 90 by 100 building. You see it out there. It's dried in right now. It's paid for. Amen. They're going to pour concrete in the front. Hopefully we'll get it before Hallelujah Night. It may not make it for them, but it very soon we'll have the concrete that connects the building to the parking lot. We have the money to pay for that. We're paying cash on that. Amen. Every time you see something going up in there, it's paid for. We're just building the stages, building it, paying cash as we go. You say, well, what's your fundraising program? Well, here it is. We give. We give over $100,000 a year in missions. We do Hallelujah Night. It could be anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12,000, depending on the year. Reaching out to these kids, you can't put a price on those kids.
That's right.
You can't do that. You can't put a price on those kids. We give to local missions. We give to foreign missions. We don't have fundraisers. We don't even have a building program. Building, you know, where we take offerings for building. We don't even have that. We found that if you give, God will make sure you have enough.
That's right.
I remember one day I was out here, we were pouring concrete, and most of you heard the story. But we were pouring concrete out here, and we poured it in section at a time. And there's over $100,000 worth of concrete out here, not counting the slab. The slab was $75,000 over $75,000 with the plumbing and everything in it. We're pouring concrete, and we're doing it section at a time. And I used to just pace and pray in tongues and just pray in the Holy Ghost and pace and look out that land and call that land in. And, you know, we all call that land in here, service after service after service. And I was just praying and just praying about the next section of praying and praying and thinking about our missions and everything. And I hadn't heard God's voice a lot in my life. Just very few, probably count on one hand how many times I've just really heard the voice of God. But God spoke to me as I was just pacing and praying. I just pray and pray in tongues. I do that a lot. I walk the slab and pray. I walk around the building and pray in tongues. I do a lot of my praying out here. And I was walking and I heard the voice of God. And he said, son, you keep supporting missions like you're supporting. You can have all the concrete you want. Really, he told me, I heard that. I know you may say that sounds goofy, but I mean, that broke me. Because we touch the heart of God. You touch missions and people, you touch the heart of God.
Amen.
And you know what? He'll make sure you got everything else. We do have a building program. It's called Missions. We have a pledge, bond, whatever you want to call it. It's called Missions. It's what it is. We got a building. We're going to start giving to other people. I remember Calvert Baptist built their building. We gave them $1,000 to the building fund. There's other churches in town building. I think we ought to pray about receiving an offering to give them for their building.
Amen.
Come on. Yep. It's about the kingdom. It's about reaching out. It's about helping others. Okay, let me finish this. Yeah, I won't finish it. Let me get to quitting point. He says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what we are about. Recovery of sight to the blind, so they won't be blind anymore. You know, if you just go back through all these things, what did He do to the blind? He healed them who wouldn't be blind. What about the captive? He set them free so they wouldn't be captive. What about the brokenhearted? He healed them so they wouldn't be brokenhearted. What about the poor? He preached to them so they wouldn't be poor no more. You may be poor. That's okay. We love you. God loves you. But God wants you to come out of that. He wants to help you come out of that. And we'll help you come out of that. You may be in sin. God doesn't hate you. But He wants you to come out of it. And we'll help you come out of it. Are you with me? And overcome it. Recover a sight to the blind. Set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know, here you have the poor. You have the brokenhearted. You have the captive. You have the blind. And you have the oppressed. Five classes of people Jesus came to. The Holy Spirit was on Him. The anointing of God was, ministry was about meeting the needs of those people. That's what we're about. That's what ministry is about. I think we ought to pray about ways to reach more people. I really do. I think we're doing great. We're doing a lot of things, but there's more we can do.
Amen.
There's more we can do. Thank God for Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to do something in the spring. I don't know. You know, what you'd call it. Christian bunny something. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I've never been in the Easter egg hunting. I just don't believe in all that. But, I mean, maybe something to reach people. You know, I just we all be thinking out of the box, as it were. Innovative ways to reach people. Gospel didn't change, but, I mean, the cultures we're in changes. We want to reach people without sinning, without compromising, without getting into sin. Concerts. Maybe have some concerts. Youth concerts. You know, youth camp. You know, we want to have a missions convention, obviously. And I think we're going to probably have the anniversary every year. That conference was so good. Man, I just want to see Tommy run around the building again. So he says, set at liberty those who are oppressed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody say acceptable.
Acceptable.
Did you know God accepts you? I don't know if everybody in the world has rejected you, but if you'll come to Jesus, He'll take you. He will not cast you out. He'll not cast you away. And He won't just take you like you are. He'll change you and make something out of you. Woo! See, He made something out of me. I mean, He changed me. I'm not who I was. I am not who I was. I am somebody different. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And any one of us can stand up and say the same thing. I look at my children, thank God Jesus changed me. Thank God they've got the daddy they've got. I'm not bragging on me, I'm talking about Jesus. Thank God they didn't have the daddy I was without Jesus. Raised up in that kind of environment. Where in the world would they be? Now they're all serving God. Most of them right here in the ministry, all of them in church. You know, that's what Jesus can do. That's what He wants to do with everybody out there. That down and outer, I mean that... That drunk in the ditch somewhere, that's what He wants to do with them. Save them, sew them up, clean them up, put them in the ministry. And He just delights in doing that. I delight in bragging on what He's done in my life. I delight in bragging on what He's done. And tell you I'm a product of what Jesus has done in my life. That I was nothing without Him. I was going nowhere fast. I was getting there. I was going hard, fast. I was going just as fast as I could to destroy myself and my family and everybody else. And God arrested me. The hound of heaven hunted me down. Because somebody prayed for me. Somebody witnessed to me. Somebody told me about Jesus. And I will never, ever, ever forget that. Okay. So He says this. Before I just slobber all over everything. 20th verse. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears or in your hearing. You know what he was saying? That's me. He found in the place where it was written. It doesn't say this, but it means this. He found the place where it was written about him. And he said it. He declared it. He started his ministry. Says, this is this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. How? I am that man. That's what he told all of them. He says, I'm the one God's anointed. And this is what I am about. In other words, this was his mission statement. This was his, his tenet of faith, as it were, his vision, his what he was about. This is it. You know what? This is what we're about. This is what International Outreach Church is about. It's about helping suffering, sighing, dying humanity. It's about reaching the unreached and telling the untold. It's about changing lives. That's what we're about. So we ought to pray. You know, we ought to all pray and ask God, show us what our part is in the thing, whatever it is. And every part counts, and everybody does something different. I understand that. You count. You're important. You can make a difference. We are making a difference. We're changing Will's Point. We're changing our community. We're changing the world. But we have just scratched the surface. I believe God has so much more for us. If we keep looking and keep expanding and keep growing and keep raising the bar and take it to the next level. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Does that help you?